This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
He's a proud person. Would I invite him? I would certainly invite him. Whether or not he could come psychologically, I think that's a tough thing for him to do.
Possible Hurricane Ann, Donald Trump, and the G7, and what was said to the Russians, which you just heard there, couldn't be more controversial. And, of course, there were a lot of reaction as we start here. Kate Delaney broadcasting from Des Moines, Iowa. Beautiful people, beautiful scenery. I've never seen so much green other than Ireland. But back to at hand, the G7, you had Chuck Schumer, of course, Senate Minority Leader, the thorn in the president's side, who said it's appalling that President Donald Trump would invite Russian President Vladimir Putin to the next G7 meeting because it'll be held in the United States in 2020. He went on further to say that when you look at what's coming next and you look down the road, and of course many Democrats pounced on this, he said it's appalling for a couple of different reasons. You know, we take on the responsibility of organizing and hosting the U.S., that is, the next summit. He says this: it's not right to have Russia back and continue to forcibly occupy Crimea. It interferes with elections and initiates a new arms race, and the New York Democrat was having none of it. As for the president himself, he was feeling pretty good about inviting Putin and Russia back to the table and feeling pretty good about what happened at the summit, thinking that it was a massive success overall, and saying that even there's a possibility of conversations with Rouhani if you talk about Iran. So, wow. Two different versions, not a surprise of what it means, the fate of the United States because of a summit. The president talked about Kim Jong-un, talked about no nukes, they weren't nuking up, talked about what overall it looked like, the view from his point of view of the United States, of course, being the powerhouse, and so many others falling back into the G7 fold, except for that the president skipped the climate portion of the summit. I don't think this is a surprise. He said there was, however, a scheduling conflict, and there was some argument there as to was it convenient to slip out because he's not supporting that, or was it really a matter of scheduling? Doesn't matter. He had plenty to say about some of the other subjects I mentioned and infuriated a few people with his comments, and delighted a few others. Like I said, what's new in the United States of America? There are two different points of view. They're very much as politics like sports in this country. So you pick your side, and I say on this show, it's about common sense, and what does it mean to you and me? What happens at the G7, you know, the G7 summit, rather, and what happens is, we care about what's going on with China. We care about what's happening with the monetary situation for a global economy, because like it or not, we can say that we don't care what happens to the currency in other worlds off our shores, but guys, you really do care. It affects your 401ks, your grandchildren's future. You have to think globally when it comes to finance, whatever it is that we're doing. And listen, this is one thing that Trump realizes, because he does not want the R word attached to his presidency. He does not want to be considered a president that was attached to a tanked economy. And he said, you know, a couple of things, like I mentioned, as far as Rouhani is concerned and Iran, because we see it's the same problem, whether they're nuking up or not. And he said, I have a very good feeling about having conversations with him. I think that we can that we can have conversations. Well, and of course, anytime you can have any kind of a conversation, listen, you cannot completely, to me, ignore Iran. He confirmed he's going to meet him under the right circumstances to end the confrontation over a 2015 nuclear deal. And they're already talking. The talks are underway of how they could open those lines to keep Iran's economy afloat. Speaking at the G7 summit in France, he ruled out lifting economic sanctions, thank goodness, to compensate for losses suffered by Iran. But he did say it was realistic to envision a meeting between him and President Hassan Rouhani in coming weeks, saying that it's a country of tremendous potential. French President Macron, host of the G7 summit, at the same news conference, said that Rouhani told him he would be open to meeting Trump. Macron said he hoped a summit between the two could happen in the coming weeks. So he was really the broker for that. So how about it? Because constantly you hear, well, what is France thinking? What are they thinking about the United States? Well, obviously, trying to think that pulling them together is a much better thing, because European leaders, and this is how I'm starting the show, because why do you care about a global economy? European leaders have struggled to calm the confrontation between Tehran and Washington since Trump pulled out of the 2015 nuclear deal and reimposed those sanctions on Iran. So once the foot was down once again, then Iran could feel that economic pinch. And of course, Iranians not happy with the fact that they have lost a lot of money thanks to the sanctions. All right, for something completely different, because you know I never throw curveballs at you right from the start, but when you hear hurricane, what do you think? Where is it? So now what they're saying, I was just looking at the latest forecast, and here I am in Des Moines. They're talking about tropical storm warnings for a couple of the Caribbean islands because it's picking up strength. And this is, we know what happens with potential hurricanes. A warning that hurricane conditions are possible in the northern Windward Islands. We see lots of problems there. It could hit the southern part of Puerto Rico as a Cat 1. And Dorian has about maximum wind speeds of 60 miles an hour. Why do you care? Because you're watching to see if this possibly turns anything into anything and barrels toward the United States. You know, you look at the satellite imaging, you listen to what the reports are, and so far, knock on anything around you, I'm knocking on a box, that doesn't happen. In Barbados, they're closing schools, the government offices, they're telling people to be indoors because they see what's happening. And that's an island that a lot of people visit from the United States. It's an island of 285,000 people. They've seen what's happened around them, and they know to take cover. And by the way, this is affecting people on cruises, because cruise lines sailing out of Port Canaveral, Florida, started rerouting their ships from the eastern to the western Caribbean because they need to avoid the storm. Would you want to be on a ship and have Dorian coming anywhere near you? No. Sustained winds, that's the thing to watch. St. Lucia, in the sights on Tuesday morning. They're doing the same thing, telling people to hunker down because they have no idea how strong Dorian will be when it hits. And you look at the path of this sucker, and it is pretty scary. Hopefully, again, it dissipates. And this isn't anything that veers toward Florida. Our friends in Florida, many of you listening to us in the great state of Florida, relatives in Tampa, I have relatives on both sides of the coast, they know to pay attention to what's happening, because even if it looks like it's not going to turn into anything, you know darn well it can. And the tropical storm can certainly bring a lot of rain as well. All right, hang with us. We've just scratched the surface. Coming up on the flip side, we're hitting the mailbag.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on the plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney once again broadcasting from beautiful Des Moines, Iowa. I'll talk a little bit about Iowa in our next segment. I think of sports, actually, when I think of Iowa. I have to say the people, and I mentioned this quickly at the top, are wonderful in Des Moines. I mean, the heart and soul of the Midwest, and many of you are listening to us in the Midwest. So on to the mailbag. Tons of mail. This one from Michael, who says, Kate, what's going on with Donald Trump? Has he lost all his marbles? I'm not an anti-Trumper, but inviting Putin to a summit when who knows he's even going to be president or not in 2020 after everything the Russians have pulled on us? I say, dirty pool, Mr. Trump. I do not agree. Well, he certainly gave the Democrats some meat, so to speak, on the bone to gnaw at, but that's going to happen. In Russia, in my mind, you want to keep them at arm's length anyway, because I wouldn't trust Putin or anyone from the Russian regime, rather, as far as I could throw them. And since this is straight talk and honest talk, and if I was giving you my take, and I am, that's what this talk show is about, and your take, of course, how it affects you in your backyard, global economy, global world, he doesn't play fair at all. At all. And whatever we think about the elections, there's no question Russia has their hands in anything they can get their hands in, let's put it that way. All right, let's move on to something else. This one from Danny. Kate, oh my gosh, I had some friends that just got back from Barbados, and they're lucky because this Dorian that is headed for the Caribbean could smash right into Barbados. From what I'm told, it's affecting the course of some of the ships that are out there that are taking people. Carnival Cruise Lines, they've had to go some different routes. I guess when you live on one of those islands, even though it's a tropical storm, you know that it's easily can kick into a hurricane should the right situation occur. And I wonder if you had the opportunity to live on an island like one of those beautiful islands in the Caribbean, would you even take that chance based on what we have consistently seen over the last couple of years? Well, it's such a what-if question. If you could live in a huge house that was gorgeous and absolutely amazing and you could water ski, play tennis, hang out, have conversations, and eat great food, would you do it? Here's the thing. It has been pretty bad off and on if we go back and we look at hurricanes of the past, really, 20 years. So this is a tropical storm, about 60-mile-an-hour winds. You look at the course of it and tracking, it's too early to tell whether it'll hold on long enough to impact the Bahamas or even the U.S. Of course, Barbados and those other spots, yes, 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 good possibility. It's just a question of where it hits, and again, if it kicks up to a hurricane. So would I like to be in the path of a hurricane? The answer is no. I have been in the path of a hurricane when I was a little kid called Agnes, and it was pretty scary. Actually, what happened, half of a dock washed off, we couldn't leave, and the streets were flooded. So it was, I got to see it firsthand, and my grandmother was, I think, lighting every candle and pretending they were holy candles even because she was so frightened. And then it came and went, and then it was all about cleanup. So I saw what that damage was like. And there are many people listening that have gone through far worse than that. And I'm certain that our friends in New Orleans who are listening, living in that bowl, they don't want to see that. In Tampa and other parts of Florida, they don't want to see that. We don't want to see destruction. So I want to be in the path of a hurricane. No, I do not want to be in that situation. This one is from Slammin' Sam, and Slammin' Sam says, Kate, hard to believe, but bravo for the judge. How about this judge ordering Johnson & Johnson to pay $572 million for the opioid crisis? Do you think that they're going to have attorneys all over this? Well, you just answered your own question. Do I think that they're going to have attorneys all over this? Of course. No matter what, they would tie it up, and they don't want to be connected to, oh, you're blaming us for the opioid crisis? The answer to that, from what I know of the company, and if I were running the company, no one's going to want that. But an Oklahoma judge ordered them and their subsidiaries to pay that money to help abate, is what the judge said, the opioid crisis in the state. And it is terrible in Oklahoma. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So what does it do? Does it set a legal precedent? Well, a federal judge in Ohio overseeing more than 2,000 lawsuits filed by city, county, and tribal governments against the nation, against manufacturers, distributors, retailers, that kind of stuff, prescription painkillers. That's a big thing, too. So think about oxycodone. That's what a lot of people talk about. It is a big ruling. Where it goes from here, we'll see. But the Oklahoma Attorney General said that the opioid overdoses killed more than 4,600 people in the state from 2017, so 10 years. And the state has estimated it's going to take about $17.5 billion over 30 years to abate the crisis. So good luck with crunching those numbers, but it does set some sort of a precedent. There's no question about that. All right, we're going to hop along to a few more. This is kind of a funny one from Hal. Kate Delaney, do you go to Chick-fil-A? Do you go to Popeyes? Have you heard about this war, Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A? I think it's brilliant. I've heard you talk about marketing before, and you say in your book you talk about it. But Popeyes was so smart to jump on this. And there was a poll in the USA Today. You mentioned it on one of your shows. Do you know what happened? Yes, I do. The poll just released their information. It's unscientific, like I say my polls are. And as far as chicken sandwiches are concerned, 54% of the 5,000 votes cast in the Twitter poll were for Chick-fil-A. 46% for Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. So how about that? It's called the Great Chicken Sandwich War of 2019. I think Chick-fil-A in the first round, they easily took down KFC. They had 80% of the vote. But how about Popeyes? Man, Popeyes ending up being the one chain that came close. Close, I say, to Chick-fil-A. I don't know. That tells you something, I would say, in the battle of the chicken sandwiches. I don't know. It's kind of funny. And now that's kind of in vogue, right? If you're not a vegan, chicken sandwiches versus always eating burgers. Moving from that to how about this? Airports are testing 3D scanners, and that really perked up Jason. Jason says, Kate, I know you travel a lot, and I'm wondering what you think of the airports and their spy methods. Do you think it's fair or foul, as you used to say in one of the segments you did on your show? And from what I understand, what they're doing is they're testing the 3D scanners on the carry-on situation. So, of course, why are they doing that? Because, and I think this is what you're referring to, because of the fears of what people could be bringing on, right? So, bigger, badder technology to stop the bad guys from possibly infiltrating a plane and doing something horrific, taking something, you know, taking someone out of the sky. So, do I think a lot of what happens at the airport is invasive? Of course I do. I hate when I see the shakedown of people who there's no way. I mean, somebody would have had planted something on them, and I have no idea, where they could barely get out of a wheelchair, and I see the big shakedown, and I think, wow, it's like eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I don't get it sometimes. I really don't. Are we safer at the airports? I've had this discussion with a few FBI people who say, oh, yeah, don't. I mean, listen, you're safer at the airport no matter what anyone says. So now having the 3D screening equipment to check the carry-on bags, to get a better look at it, small containers of liquids in plastic bags might be gone. That's what they're saying. So the transportation secretary is saying the new technology will improve it, but it could mean actually something easier for the passengers who do use plastic bags. That's what they're saying. Now you're not allowed to carry more than, 3.38 fluid ounces of liquid. See, I know that because I see that sign all the time. So that could change everything. Just clear plastic bags. I don't know. I mean, let's see. This is what they're doing in England, so we're following that. I guess that's what the scoop is. By the way, if you want to send me any of your thoughts, you can, night or day. Go to Kate Delaney Radio. Kate Delaney Radio. And bada bing, just like that, you're in. We're going to start bringing back our daily salute. So if you have somebody in your neighborhood where you're listening to us that you think needs to be recognized, send me an email with some of the specifics of why they should receive the daily salute. Hang with us. We're going to the Man Cave next.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
So when you say, do you think they want to? Maybe they want to and maybe they don't, but I think they want to make a deal. I'm not sure they have a choice.
President Trump says China has no choice but to make a trade deal with the United States, and he thinks one is coming. The president wrapping up a long weekend at the G7 summit in France, saying he believes China is sincere and has no choice because its economy is in trouble.
And I don't say that as a threat. They can't do what they were saying they're going to do, because if they do that, they're going to be met with really very violent force.
Also making headlines, President Trump says some have suggested holding next year's 2020 G7 at his private golf resort, Doral, in Florida. The president says he's open to it, but says there's no financial gain.
My people wanted it. From my standpoint, I'm not going to make any money. In my opinion, I'm not going to make any money. I don't want to make money. I don't care about making money.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Once again, we have an amazing guest on this show. He's in our virtual green room. Jeff Wallace is his name, and he's written such a powerful book, In God We Trusted, the U.S. Constitution and the Restoration of America. And we've talked about this on the show. How many of you really understand the Constitution, and do you know the Bill of Rights, and do you know what really the Constitution is all about, and the document, and what's happening these days? And we've had constitutional lawyers on. We've talked to lots of people about it. But let me tell you, Jeff has gone deep on this research. He knows his stuff, and his book is incredibly powerful. So we're thrilled to have him on. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
When did you realize that you didn't really understand the Constitution? What was the big turning point for you, and how did you delve into this?
And 2009, I was talked into running for a local state representative seat in the state of Mississippi, and I had some time off one day, and I decided, what am I going to do with this hour? And I said, well, I'm going to read the Constitution of the state of Mississippi. And the preamble says that we're grateful to Almighty God in invoking his blessing upon our work. We do hereby establish this Constitution. I'm like, wow, you know, that's, I think that's supposed to be what we're, the parameters of what we're supposed to do. And I just kept reading. But then in the Bill of Rights in Section 18, it says that the Holy Bible cannot be excluded from any public school in this state. And I'm like, oh, Lord, we don't do that. So I got invited to do a little speech, and I just simply asked those two questions. What am I supposed to do if I get elected if I have to place my hand on the Holy Bible and defend these two things? There's a lot of things that we do that doesn't bless God, and if we're doing things that don't bless Him, He's not going to bless us. And then it says here that we can't exclude the Bible from any public school in this state. I'm 50-something years old. It's never been in there in my lifetime. But what am I supposed to do if I get elected? Because if I have to put my hand on the Holy Bible, I'm going to do it. And they told me in no uncertain terms that if I tried to run for office, that they would ensure that I would never hold any office in this state, ever. And they succeeded. And so I'm like, wow, I've been struck a nerve. Let me do some research on this and see what I can find. You know, why is this such a volatile topic if it's in the Constitution? And so I wrote the book on it. Here we are.
And in writing the book, you said you travel. I mean, you went deep on this, and you can tell in reading the book, you traveled all over the place, and you did a lot of research, didn't you?
Yes. When I wanted to study the Pilgrims, I went to Leiden, Holland, not Plymouth first. I went to Leiden, Holland. Now, I have my mother-in-law is Dutch, so we take her there every year, and so it's not – I didn't go way out of my way to go there. But I made sure I went there, and so I met with the archivist there. Then I went to Plymouth and met with the archivist there. Then I went to Philadelphia and met with the archivist there. Went to Lexington for the opening battle of the American Revolution, and I actually have access to the actual pistol that fired the first shot of the American Revolution. So who's right, the guy that has the pistol or the History Channel?
I love that. And what an interesting journey I'm sure it's been. When you finished the book, what did that feel like to you?
I still haven't finished. This is the third edition, and I read 150 pages last night of original history that I've never heard before. And so it's an ongoing, probably never exhaustible journey.
Yeah, I bet. And I like that third edition. So we're speaking with Jeff Wallace in God We Trusted, the U.S. Constitution and the Restoration of America. Is it shocking to you that people don't know the Constitution? Because what's happening at our education levels, whether it's, elementary school, middle school, high school, or college?
Well, yeah. And the amazing thing about the book is the majority of the book comes from first grade American history books that were written by the founders themselves or their children. And so this is hidden in plain sight. It's nothing spectacular. It's just this is what they said they did and exactly how they did it because they understood what they did and the consequences of it. And they wanted, we'll put it this way, every elected official swears to uphold and defend the Constitution. And if we don't know it, how can we defend it? And so we're clueless on what we're supposed to be doing. It's kind of obvious. We've been talking lately about the presidential campaigns going back and forth and Trump's tweets and retweets and all the tweets going back and forth around the world. Is this the best we've got? I mean, it sounds like two children in a sand pile going, you're a duty head. No, you're a duty head. No, you're the duty head. Mom, he's calling me a duty head. And nothing gets done that's good, positive, or constitutional.
Yeah, so well put, Jeff. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
In my perspective, I'm a simple country boy from Mississippi. America is the greatest country that has ever been conceived by the mind of man. And we have got our hands on the greatest tool to solve the problems of pretty much everything. But if we don't go back and revisit and understand what we have our hands on, we're going to continue to go down the same path, which is not the same society that I grew up in. And I want my grandchildren to have the same liberties and freedoms that I had as a child.
Yeah, and I bet you that resonates with so many people that are listening to this show right now. When you started off on this trail, I'm sure you didn't realize just how much research you were going to do and how many interesting nuggets you were going to find. And we could talk about this for hours, but if you had to pick out one thing that was the most, you know, interesting to you, one of the most interesting things, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. The one thing, the most powerful thing that I found, that I literally sat on the beach at between like 2 and 5 in the morning, staring at the stars, asking God, what have I stepped into? And I found it in a Supreme Court case in 1892 that cited the Mississippi Constitution and those clauses that I talked about as precedent for public schools and the laws for statehood to join the union. But the thing that they cited was the definition of e pluribus unum. It's on all of our money. It's on the Great Seal. When our ambassador won, or the presidential plane lives in Air Force One, when they land in, say, Saudi Arabia, that seal is on there. When the president speaks there, E pluribus unum is there, and loosely translated, or literally translated, is out of many one. We would say we are one, because we don't talk Latin. But anyway, we are one, and we're declaring to the whole world our unity as 50 states. But the Supreme Court said the source of that clause, and I get chills, and I'm going to stay composed, but I usually can't. This is the answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17:21 after the Last Supper. Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's what we declare to the world, that we were the answer to that prayer. Wrap your head around that one.
Wow. That is exactly powerful. That is very powerful. And I like you know, you talking about being there on the beach and looking at the stars and then really being knocked over by realizing the connection there. And I think that's part of what we've talked about here is in your book, In God We Trusted, the U.S. Constitution and the Restoration of America, it's what we don't know. And it really would be a lifetime journey, and it has been for you since you tripped on to the decision to run and then realized what you had found. And it's, again, just incredibly powerful stuff, Jeff. How many editions do you think you're going to have of this? People can get it on Amazon, by the way. Probably limitless.
Yeah, well, the second edition is available now. The first edition, I've only got like 7 copies left, and they're going for $1,000. The second edition is going to go off when we release the third edition sometime this fall, before November, before the Miami Book Fair. But what we're going to, since the book is so massive, what we want to do in the future is compartmentalize it and make it smaller, bite-sized pieces, because it's like trying to swim the Pacific. And so we want to just give you a little diving board in the local swimming pool.
Yep, I'm thinking of that right now as you say that, the bite size. I like that. But right now you can go and get that second edition before Miami, that book fair, as Jeff says. And remember, the book is In God We Trusted, the U.S. Constitution and the Restoration of America. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Day. Tebow Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tebow Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story, but freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
It's time to invade the bad game.
I certainly feel like I got my fair chance, and I'm very grateful for every snap that I got to take, and you know, the lows and learn from them, and the highs and all the positive things. So I don't hold any resentment, I guess, in that way. I do feel like I got a fair chance, and I tried to make the most of my chance. And right now, my journey just doesn't include football going forward.
Welcome to the Man Cave, this version from Des Moines, Iowa, home of Drake University. You just heard Andrew Luck there talking about not having much luck when it comes to his health and deciding that it was time for him to step away from the great game. Lots of disappointed people. In fact, when he announced that he was retiring, there were some boos that could be heard, because here we are at the doorstep of another NFL season and he's pulling away, but he's doing what he needs to do. I mean, listen, the guy has had tons of injuries, some of them nagging little injuries and a lot bigger, as you know, where he's knocked out for a season. I mean, he's had that kind of a career. And of course, as the story goes, the Colts paid him a handsome ransom, and plainly, some of that money is obviously not going to be recouped. And this is the big story heading into the season. And as one person calls it quits, you got somebody else that's going to get an opportunity, but how to fill those shoes. I mean, even, listen, Aaron Rodgers understands Andrew Luck's decision, he said this, to retire. And he says it's just pitiful and disgusting that the fans booed him the way that they booed him. I think that Andrew Luck just felt like he had no chance at trying to get his arm back. You know, an entire season, next off season, trying to get his arm back. And, you know, here's the thing. It's not necessarily a selfish decision. I agree with Rodgers. It's a selfless decision. He needed to do that because with the collarbone, he had that happen in 2013. He's had so many things that plagued him health-wise. And, you know, when you make that decision, you make that decision that, how can I do this again? I mean, how can I continue to put myself, my body through this rigmarole and then somehow emerge intact? So Frank Reich, who's the coach of the Colts, says, listen, we're in good hands. We're going to be okay with Jacoby Brissett as our quarterback. And this is what you do. You move on. I mean, Luck, the number one overall pick in 2012, is retiring after 7 years. And his fortunes just didn't go well with his health. It's been really just kind of a crazy roller coaster for Andrew Luck. So now, let's see what happens with the backup and how he does. Wouldn't it be wild if he had just a tremendous season? And, of course, there is always the possibility of that. I mentioned Drake University, and I was just thinking about this. Drake is in Des Moines, Iowa, and pretty famous for some of their graduate programs that they offer, business, law, pharmacy, that kind of stuff. The tuition is over $35,000 a year. The acceptance rate is like 67%, something like that, and the enrollment isn't as large as you would think. So it's a school that really has a very, very big name, and it's not necessarily easy to get in. And the imagery that I had in my head of Drake University, it's so interesting to actually see it in person. It is a beautiful campus. I mean, it's 150 acres, and it was founded in 1881. I was reading something about that today, and you, of course, have the Drake Bulldogs, which quite often the basketball team is what you think of. They're pretty good, and they end up in the college March Madness tournament. So speaking of sports, we would be talking about that in the man cave. How about Drake University? Otherwise, in the Major League Baseball front, last week I was talking a bunch about that with the other, and he'll be back with us coming up on one of our next shows later in the week. But looking at the baseball races, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. There's definitely some teams that are pulling ahead, and there's definitely some teams that are packing it in and waiting to see what happens next year. But there was one thing I thought was so interesting. What I love about baseball is there's sort of still an old-timey feel to it. And part of that is because a lot of times you have the old guard, whether it's the voice of the team, whether it's someone who owned the team, whether it's someone who still is connected to the team. And because I'm headed to Tampa Bay next week, I was thinking about the original Tampa Bay Rays owner, Vince Namoli, who many of you listening to us in Tampa know his name. He has died at the age of 81. He died after 5 years of being diagnosed with a brain disorder that was very uncommon, and he had been part of a whole bunch of different bids to pull teams and relocate them, like the Seattle Mariners and the San Francisco Giants, but he landed an expansion team in 1995. He was so persistent that began play as the Devil Rays in 1998. So it was a two-decade effort to try to make that happen, and he was the man behind that, and he really believed in it. He had a lot of obstacles, and he often found himself battling local businesses, civic leaders, you know, because people would argue, is this good for Tampa? Is this good for our area? Are you interested in making money? Are you interested in winning? But he definitely had a name and made a name for himself even more. So, original owner of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, dead at the age of 81. Here's another big story when it comes to baseball. Retiring numbers is a huge honor. And this is a player that I had a chance to interview in my career. The Oakland A's are going to retire Dave Stewart's number 34 next season. He was at the Oakland Coliseum before one of the games last week with the San Francisco Giants as the A's honored the 1989 World Series championship team. They have only retired five numbers before Stewart. So who were they? Famous people. Reggie Jackson, Catfish Hunter, Ricky Henderson, Dennis Eckersley, Raleigh Fingers, and Stewart will be the first player who's not in the Hall of Fame to be honored by the A's. But this is a guy, which is really cool, who was born, raised in Oakland, and like I said, was named the 1989 World Series MVP after winning Game 1, and then because they had a horrible earthquake, Game 3 as well. And he played eight solid seasons for the A's, won at least 20 games each season from 87 to 1990. And you think quality starts then, and what were quality starts, so woohoo! Congratulations to Dave Stewart, because I mentioned why. That is an incredible honor, without a doubt, for him. So as we sit here in the man cave, and we're talking about, or I'm talking about, but I would be talking about, you know, what things we would talk about in the man cave, mostly sports. I happen to run into a prolific sports writer, and his name is Ross Bernstein. He has sold 50 sports books. Yeah. He's keynoted conferences, this guy, on seven continents. Is that unbelievable? But what's so cool is the 50 sports books. I'll tell you what. I mean, you are... If you can write... I thought it was good to write Deal Your Own Destiny and Invade the Man Cave. But 50? I have to start writing now if I'm going to catch up to him. And as I mentioned, he really is a well-known speaker. He's interviewed, like me, lots and lots of athletes, 1,000 athletes and coaches for some of the books, and he follows patterns and whatnot. And his whole thing is about building relationships through life lessons of integrity and accountability from the sports world to the business world. And isn't that interesting? What is it about the DNA of champions? What makes them tick? So... fun to see him and have a conversation with him about his books and about the things and the people that he's come across in his sports career, just like mine in a you know, different way. And he's done it all. I mean, whether it's Stanley Cup, whether it's, you know, we're talking about baseball or something else related in any way to sports. How interesting is that? Very interesting to me, without a doubt. So I want to thank you all again for listening to me coming out of Iowa. Fantastic interview coming up next. So sit back, relax, and we're going to cruise right on out to the top of the hour. Stay with us. Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.